Welcome back to Seeking to Expand, all you beautiful people that want to expand your knowledge. I am your host, Nicholas Lawrence Carter, and next to me is my co-host, Corey Batts.
How you doing?
None of your business.
No one cares.
Yeah, well, that, you're not wrong there. So on this episode, we're going to talk about some pretty insane things, but it's not in the conspiratorial territory like our first episode was. These are more, it's more astrophysics stuff. So we're going to talk about the Fermi paradox, the Kardashev scale, I think that's how you say that, and the great filter, and how they all correlate and correspond to each other, and what that means for us.
It's going to be a crazy ride.
Seeking to expand.
Before we get started, I actually want to talk about this book that I just read called Dead Mountain, The Untold True Story of the Dalatov Pass Incident. I'm not going to get in deep about this book at all because I want people to read it. This is really just a recommendation. But the book is about the mysterious story of 9 Russian hikers and how they died. And still, to this day, this is like, I guess, spoiler alert, but not really a spoiler because it's a true story. No one knows the exact details surrounding all of this. And it's nuts how the book positions itself and its central people that it talks about, because these are all kids in Russia in the 50s. So they're like staunch, hardcore communists. But it also paints them in a way that they're just college kids. And it's weird to think about things like that. Like, we are so ingrained as a society by, like, our government, the way our government works. Every culture is like this. To think that the other cultures that have different ways of living and have different governments are bad. Like, they're the bad guy. Oh, they're communists. They're awful. And yeah, like, the communist government obviously isn't great, but these people that are born into it and it's all they know, so it's what they believe, they're also still just regular people. And in that manner, the book is very... it's very heartbreaking when it deals with these people and how they died. Like, it's, I could not recommend it more. It's a fantastic book.
You're gonna have to send it to me.
Well, I'm gonna send it to you. He and I both use Audible. So, okay. So I think the best way to start off talking about all this is, let's lay a little bit of groundwork here first. All right. With as many stars as there are in our galaxy, there are between 100 and 400 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way, right?
Right.
That's a huge number. It is also believed that there is it's known that there's an equal number of galaxies as it pertains to our stars in the known universe, okay? So if our galaxy has 100 to 400 billion stars, there are also 100 to 400 billion galaxies like the Milky Way out there. The scale of how large that is almost, you almost can't understand it.
You can't. It's almost impossible.
You know what I'm saying?
Look at and try to visualize that.
Yeah, it's insanity.
It's insane.
If we go from that number, we have to figure out how many of those galaxies, how many of the stars in the universe are like our sun, right?
Right.
That have a habitable zone like Earth is in that can contain and support life. So it's estimated that there are 100 billion planets that are like...
quintillion.
Yeah, 1 quintillion planets that are like Earth in the known galaxy. And of those 1 billion Earth-like planets, there should be 100,000 civilizations that are intelligent like we are in the galaxy. If that is so, where are they? Welcome to the Fermi Paradox.
This is going to be a crazy ride today.
Where are these other civilizations? If they are out there and they are intelligent, like we are considered intelligent life.
Right.
We're not hyper-intelligent life because that would be a point beyond what we're at yet.
We get by.
Yeah, we get by. We're intelligent life. So if there's other intelligent life out there like us, why don't we know about it? Where is it at? Why haven't they come and said, hey, like, why aren't we hanging out?
Yeah, right?
Where are all these people?
Send us a postcard.
Yeah, like, we're trying to send y'all some. We're sending them through radio waves. Also gets into, maybe that's the wrong way to do it.
Probably.
What if they don't communicate with or understand radio waves?
Well, that just blew my mind.
Right? It is mind-bending to think about. The way that, like, I'm not going to get too deep in what I'm about to say right now, but I feel like I kind of have to say it. Radio waves are just waves, you know, just like gamma rays, the light. Then there's also the light that we see. There's also microwaves, you know, that thing you heat your food up in.
Yep.
Microwaves are waves. So there are different telescopes and microscopes that utilize and bend different forms of light to see different things beyond what our perception of our eyes can see. Right?
Yeah.
We can't see radio waves. We can't see microwaves. We can't see gamma rays. We can't see X-rays. We don't see them, but they exist.
Right. Yeah.
What if microwaves are the wrong ones to communicate with? Or not microwaves, I'm sorry, radio waves. What if those are the wrong ones to communicate with? And also, when we're sending out our radio waves, like they have done before in the past, like send out messages.
Yeah.
They're legitimately looking at a patch in space and sending it out that way. What if they're sending it the wrong way? In all the vastness of space and all the places we could send it, we concentrate on one little area and send it there. And what if no one's there, but there's someone to the right of them?
Yeah, just go
right. We don't know that.
Just a little.
Yeah, but we don't know. You know what I mean? It's like trying to scale and map the ocean, which we know like 1% of. Space is a billion times that.
Probably more, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah mathematically, it's probably more than a billion.
I'm
it's
just
probably
saying,
like,
you're really dumb right now with your math.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm just trying to put it in like terms that I understand. So that's how vast space is. And that's how small the opportunity that we have had to try to make contact is, right? Or to put ourselves out there like, hey, we exist. We hope you're there and you say something back. And they could be saying something back and we can't understand it. We don't perceive the way that they communicate or the way that they even exist.
They can't receive our radio waves. We can't receive their gamma rays.
Yeah, you know, like whatever, however it is that they communicate, like it just doesn't work. And so that brings us to the Kardashev scale, right? So the Fermi paradox is the idea of if there's other life,
where are they?
Why don't we know, right?
Yeah.
So then to understand more of that, you have to know the Kardashev scale, which is just a scale that...
It measures civilization based on the kind of energy and how they can harness it, how much of the energy they can harness.
For reference, we are not even a type 1. There are three types theorized. We are not even a type 1.
Yeah, a type 1 has the ability to use all of the energy on their planet. They can harness all the energy. We can't do that.
Think about that. If you're harnessing the entirety of your planet and have all the resources of your planet of origin at your fingertips, that changes everything.
Oh, easily.
You can do so much more now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It changes like the quality of life because everything is better. A type 2 harnesses the energy of their host star, which would be if we could harness the energy of the sun and use the sun's energy. We do a little bit with solar, like with solar panels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's like nothing. That's nothing. That's not even a drop in the bucket. We don't even have the bucket yet.
No.
It's nothing. So that, think about the gravity of that, of using that power is mind-bending. And then a type 3 civilization is even greater than that. It's being able to utilize the energy of an entire galaxy. So if we could utilize the energy of the Milky Way in a whole, and that leads to possible and probable interstellar travel. So if those type 3s are out there, and they have interstellar travel, where are they? Can we even understand them? Like, I think that's the biggest question. If they exist, it's a huge question. But would we even be able to understand?
Could we see them?
Exactly. Like, and understand, I mean, like, perceive as well. Like, I don't just mean, like, communicating through dialogue. Like, would we even be able to grasp the concept of what they are?
Yeah.
And how they operate and what their technology is, right? So technology is magic, essentially. If you think about it in the way that, like, when you see technology that you don't understand, it's magic. If we were to take a cell phone and drop it in the 1300s, that's magic.
That's
today,
magic. Yeah. Right? What is this?
So is that what it'll be for us if they dropped a piece of technology on Earth?
Probably.
Would it be so beyond our capacity to understand that it would be magic? We couldn't even explain what it was or how it worked.
Imagine, though.
That's mind-blowing, dude.
That's freaking awesome.
That's insanity. Like, I would love that. Like, please give us something. So then you have the three types of civilization, and that ties into the Fermi paradox, because to ask the question, where are they, you have to know who you're asking and how you're trying to ask them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are we asking in a way that they can understand? Are they answering in a way that we can understand? Do they even exist at all?
That's a big question.
It is a big question, and that's what brings us to the Great Filter, which is an absolutely awful and terrifying prospect.
It's terrifying. It is crazy.
I love the Great Filter concept, and I hate it at the same time.
I don't like it at all. I just all around hate it.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like this filter.
Doesn't exist. Not doing that. So the Great Filter stipulates that there is a wall at some point in the evolutionary process that
it's behind us, so that means we've passed it already?
Right.
Or it's in front of us and we haven't hit it yet.
Exactly. It stipulates that there's a wall somewhere along the path of the evolutionary process that intelligent life will eventually hit and will not surpass. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks because that's just, hey, you're done.
It's like, thanks for coming, big guy. Yep. Show's over. Time to go home now.
We're going on to the next set of tests.
And with the great filter, there are a few possible explanations. There's three that I not like, but I like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One possible explanation of what the great filter is and how we exist is that humanity is rare. That means the wall is behind us, and we are the unique rare species that managed to break through it. And all other intelligent life fails at the point that we broke through.
Which, it sucks. Because that means there's nothing else out there, and we are the pinnacle.
Exactly. So that correlates to the Fermi paradox, because...
Where are they?
Where are they? Are they even there to talk to? Are we that rare breed that made it through the great filter and nothing else did?
I hope not. I really hope not.
Legit about to say, I really hope not. I hope not. There's also, we're the first. And what that means is the universe may just now be to the point that intelligent life and advanced civilizations are even possible. There may be other life out there that is advancing as we are, and we're part of that collective first set of civilizations. And none of us have managed to grow to an area to communicate with each other yet in a proper manner.
I like that one.
But that also means that the great filter is probably still ahead of us.
I don't like that one.
Yeah. So if we're part of the first, that just means that the universe has cooled to a point, because the universe is ever expanding and it has a temperature. And over time, that temperature is cooling as it expands.
Right.
That means that it's cooled to a point that now intelligent life can grow and progress and actually become a thing. So if we're part of the first ones, we may never meet each other because we're all going to hit that wall still.
That just sucks.
That does suck.
That sucks.
And that brings me to the third one. The great filter is still ahead of us. We haven't hit the wall yet, and when we do, we're not going to surpass it. Nope. We're going to fail, and so will all other intelligent life out there that hits it.
Just, we're unplugging. Reboot.
Yeah. And what it means to hit that wall, what they theorize is, it'll be a cataclysmic natural event will occur that will wipe out intelligent life, right? One prevailing theory is that there are gamma ray explosions that happen out in different parts of the universe. Like, they've detected them. They're real.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they out there exploding and destroying life? And that's why we don't know. And is it going to happen here?
So and that wipes us out. They're hitting their wall.
Yeah, and that's the wall.
And it's just blowing them up.
Is the gamma... Well, no, it's just the gamma ray explosions just happen. I don't think they know why. They could, and I just haven't looked at it enough to know. But if one happens here and it wipes us out, that was our great filter.
God.
Right? Then there's also...
The great filter, it sounds to me like the freaking apocalypse.
It kind of is. Because there's also the possibility of supervolcanoes. Supervolcanoes are a real thing. They exist on Earth. If you don't know about them, you should look them up.
It's Yellowstone.
Absolutely terrifying. Yeah, Yellowstone is a supervolcano.
And it is due in the next, what is it, couple of hundred years to burst?
They don't know exactly when, right? So they think that the last time that it exploded was 640,000 years ago, and they think that it blows every 600,000 to 800,000 years.
I'm a couple hundred thousand years off of my...
Yeah. Of my... But if that happens, it's a supervolcano. And when a supervolcano explodes, it eradicates everything around it. The entirety of our continent will be gone instantly. And then because of the mass eruption, the ash blocks out the sun in the sky, which creates an environmental change in the atmosphere and brings us into another ice age.
Another ice age.
And then almost everything is eradicated. Certainly all humanity is done.
Yeah.
And if one explodes and it sets off a chain reaction and another one explodes, we are certainly not making out of that.
The few people that might have survived the first one,
They will all die in the fallout.
Who might have survived the freezing weather is dead.
They won't, yeah. The people that survive the fallout of the blast will not survive the winter. It's not going to happen because it's a total ice age. You're not going to survive that. We're not equipped for that now. And even the ones that would, there's still radiation fallout. And then the changing of the atmosphere back to be what it was. Like, it's a cataclysmic world-ending event. We don't survive. That could be the great filter. That's our wall for us.
Right.
We haven't hit it yet. It's happened before, so maybe life existed before it happened, wiped it out. That was their great filter, and we're just now getting to the point that it's going to happen again.
That's awful. I'm sitting here trying to like just think about it, and that's an awful thing.
It's terrifying, right? It's terrifying. That's more terrifying than any horror movie I've ever seen in my entire life. I've never seen a horror movie that put that level of fear in me to think about like a galactic universal scale of
death, of everything. Destruction.
Yeah, it's just, oh my God, dude, that's awful. That's awful.
But it is what it is, though. I mean,
it's cycle of life.
It's going to happen, in my opinion.
I mean,
not in our lifetime, maybe not in the next, or the next after that. But
it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. It's exploded before. It's probably going to happen again. I believe Pompeii is a supervolcano when that happened.
I think you're, yeah, I'm pretty sure Pompeii you're correct
is.
On that.
I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, the last one that exploded was like 26,000 years ago, and it was in like Sweden or something. I don't remember. But they don't know like a ton of information from what I could gather about it, because I mean, it's 26,000 years ago. It's quite a while.
Yeah.
It was, you know, last week.
Yeah, you were thought about back then. Like, yeah.
No, I wasn't. There was no thought of this idiot. So there's also the concept that Type 2 and Type 3 civilizations do exist, and they are out there, but there's a good reason why we don't know about them. And there's a couple of these reasons that I really like.
Let's hear them.
Super intelligent life may have already visited Earth, and they moved on and were too primitive.
They came in the
Stone Age.
Yeah.
And they left.
Well,
or, I mean,
give us another chance. Come on, guys.
I mean, yeah, come on back. Or, like, maybe they came last year and were still too primitive. You know what I mean? Oh, these three-dimensional beings? They're crap.
I don't like that.
Yeah, what if they're four-dimensional beings?
We wouldn't be able to see them anyway if they showed up.
We wouldn't be able to understand anything about
nothing.
Them.
Nothing. It's just zero.
Their concept wouldn't make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that, like, gets into the whole, like, multiverse theory, which I don't even want to get into.
No,
that's a whole
that's
lot
a
to talk
whole
about.
Another thing.
Then there's also, we live in the universal equivalent of the boonies. We live, Earth is out in the country. The universe is colonized, but we live so far out that we haven't even found the city yet.
Earth is Polk County.
Yeah, right. We just live way out in the countryside. No one's come out here. Like, oh, those hicks out there on Earth? No, leave them there.
Yeah, they're fine where they're at.
Yeah, right?
They'll catch up eventually.
Yeah, we are still in the Stone Age of the universe. Then there's
Which
also...
I guess that's pretty cool to think about. Maybe, like, we have the potential to keep growing into something that's vastly awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I love that one, that like, oh, we're the boonies. Like, we're the country.
Yeah.
Everyone else is out there in the city, and they're like, oh, dude, they're too far out. I don't want to drive out there.
Nope.
I'm not good. Going 4 hours to Mike's house, dude. He can come here.
Yeah.
So that's what we got to do. We got to go there.
Yeah, we have to get there somehow.
We haven't advanced that yet.
We don't know what we're doing.
Or we haven't advanced that far yet. We haven't advanced that yet. So then there's also physical colonization is a primitive concept, and we're not nearly advanced enough to understand the true concept of colonization. A Type 3 civilization will be so far beyond us, like I'd said earlier, their tech would seem like magic, or not even be like comprehensible to our feeble little human brains.
Interstellar travel. Come on.
Dude, like,
come on.
You watch all these science fiction movies and read these sci-fi stories and stuff, right? Where they're always going like planet to planet and traveling the universe and the galaxy. So it gives you...
We're in the Millennium Falcon doing 14 parsecs, you know.
Yeah, right? So it gives you what you think and is an idea of an understanding of how that would work. But to truly think about interstellar travel and to get from here to another galaxy in a matter of hours or days is unbelievable. And it doesn't have to be hours or days, just to be able to do it, period, in a lifetime.
Yeah.
That's insane. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it'd be awesome.
You see Star Wars and they're going to all these different places, or Star Trek, and like every episode they're traveling to a new planet and they're going into hyperdrive and all this other kind of shit. And it's like, oh yeah, I understand that. You know, that's what it is. That makes sense. But we don't really understand that.
Yeah, does it make sense?
You know what I mean? Like, we don't really get that to grasp interstellar travel. That's not just a group, a section, or like one section of that species that can go through that. That's the entire culture and civilization.
Yeah, that's their whole, their Milky Way. That's their galaxy.
They're molded around that. That's how advanced they are.
Yeah.
We're not even close. Not even close. If they're the ocean, we're still on the land 25 million miles away from the ocean. Like, we don't even know there's water yet.
God.
Then there is also the other idea that I really like. That is, we kind of touched on this already, but we are being communicated with. We can't understand it. We're too primitive to even get it.
Because we're looking left and they're looking right.
Exactly. Or we're looking left and they're looking at us, but we just can't tell. We have no idea. We just can't comprehend it. Like, if they're interdimensional life, we can't even understand them. They don't make sense. Then there's also the zoo hypothesis, that we are being observed by other intelligent life, but we're a zoo. It's a look, don't touch policy.
So look at these idiots down here.
Exactly.
What are they doing?
We can be observed. We cannot be interfered with. That's a staple of a lot of science fiction stuff, right?
Right.
Like, especially Star Trek. You don't go mess with the native inhabitants of this planet or of this solar system.
Yeah.
What if that's a universal concept? Like, they just don't mess with us. They can see us. They know about us. But communicating with us is not on the table.
Listen, if you guys are out there and that's what you're thinking, come on down.
You're wrong. We want to know.
Let's go.
I like how when you just said that, it became like The Price is Right for a minute. Like, come on down. You guys want a trip to Earth? And that brings me to the last one. that I love and hate because it's terrifying. Perhaps there is other intelligent life, but there is also a super predator species that devours and destroys intelligent life once it gets to a certain point, and that point makes the predators feel threatened. Maybe that point is interstellar travel. Like, oh no, you can't leave your place. You're not allowed. That's why we don't know about anybody else, because there's one, not omnipotent, but one great civilization that is controlling everything.
It's the Empire.
Not even controlling. It's the Empire. They're not like, quote-unquote, controlling. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're monitoring everything, mandating what you can and can't do. And perhaps there is also other intelligent life that can have interstellar travel, but they're aware that there is a predator species out there, so they don't make contact with us or with anybody else because they don't want to unveil themselves. And making contact is a mistake, which, if it is far too late for that for us because we've already sent out radio transmissions.
Right.
We've already made ourselves known. Way too late. Then there's also, Stephen Hawking said that if there is other life in the universe, we don't want to know and we should not make contact.
Why
that
not?
Would be awful for us.
Explain.
Because he and a lot of other scientists feel that they would be either predatory or conflict would arise between
just
us and
all
them.
Out war between them?
Potentially.
I see that.
I mean, so does...
It's human nature.
So does every sci-fi story ever.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can see that happening. Like, we're all just sitting here chilling, and next thing you know, some ships land, and then...
It's like, oh, we got your signal. Now you're dead. We were shocked you idiots even told us you were here. No one else does that.
Or they're coming here and they're just wanting to see what's going on in our government.
We're too violent of a culture.
They don't understand it and then they think it's a hostile threat.
So that brings me to this. That is a human reaction, right?
It is, yeah.
Our human reaction is like we want to feel safe and we want the people we care about to be safe. So when something shows up that we don't understand, one of the first reactions, instinctual reactions a human has is it a threat?
Is it a threat?
And if it is, it needs to be eliminated now. And that's something that's been ingrained in us over time through the evolutionary process of being killed back in the day by all these other predators and having to be cautious of everything. So it stands to reason that if a freaking alien came here, we'd be like, kill the fire! Get it out! It flies spaceships, kill it!
Get it!
It might hurt us. And there would be a large section of the population that would want that.
Oh, yeah, easily.
They were like, oh, no, we can't give it a chance. Kill it.
I'm not saying to trust the thing. I'm just saying give it a chance for a second.
Just
see if it wants to shake hands, sit down, have a dinner.
Let our top scientists talk to it before it dies. Like, come on now. Before we go to war, let's let it talk to our smartest people on the planet. If an alien ever came to Earth, the president of the United States or the leader of any country is not the person it should talk to.
Oh, absolutely
not. It should talk to a collective conglomerate of our smartest scientists. They're going to ask the proper questions.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have things that they want to know that it benefits humanity.
Yeah.
Not that the government wants to know, like, can we use those plasma rifles too? Like, can we use those and take over the world if we kill this thing? That's not the question we should ask.
No,
questions
not at all.
Questions we should be asking are, how the hell did you get here?
Yeah.
Can we do that too?
Let's see your spaceship real quick.
Yeah, like, I inspect this?
I need to know what's going on.
Those are the people that should talk to them, right?
The
whole, like...
What is Element 115?
Yeah, no kidding, right? The whole take me to your leader, like alien thing, it should be take me to your smartest person.
Yeah.
Take me to the smartest being around here so it's that, like, we can have a conversation.
Well, he died.
Yeah. Sorry, Hawking's dead.
Yeah, he's not here anymore.
Hawking and Newton, they're both gone.
Yeah. We have a couple other guys, but.
Yeah, let Neil talk to him. Oh, put Neil deGrasse Tyson on there. Let him go have a conversation.
Like, that guy is so.
Dude,
he's so smart. It's unreal.
He aggravates me with how smart he is, dude. Listening to him talk, it's like, dude, shut up. We get it. You know more than everybody. It's fun.
I don't even like listening to him talk because I feel like I'm in a lecture hall. I'm like, come on.
But, dude, he makes it so interesting, though, man. Like, if I had teachers like his, I would have been such a science nerd when I was younger. Like, I'm majorly one now, but I wasn't when I was a kid because I never had a good science teacher. If I had someone that relayed information in the way that he does and made it enjoyable to learn and make me want to learn, that'd have been better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Our educational system is broken.
It is
in
broken.
That
That's a whole other topic that we're not ever going to get
into.
It is not,
but I'm saying, like, if I had teachers like that, and part of it is also on the student.
Oh, yeah.
But a large part of it is on the teacher.
Yeah.
Like, that's your job.
Teach.
You can't look at it like, who cares? Society doesn't grow that way.
But it could.
It could. We could have more Elon Musks and more Neil deGrasse Tysons out there. We could have more Newtons, more Einsteins. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they would have better... hygiene to Einstein, but getting past that. It's thought that he was not a very clean person. All right, so that's like the groundwork, right? to understand these concepts, to ask these questions. So, now we ask the question again. Where are they?
I want to know.
I want to know, too. That's why we're talking about this. If we haven't hit the great filter yet.
Which I hope we, I hope we have. Like, where are we at on that?
Oh, and to lead into that, this is something I want to mention earlier. So, with the great filter, finding even, like, finding simple life in another, on another planet could be a really bad thing. Because that means a lot of the options for the great filter are now behind us. Finding complex life, like fossilized complex life on another planet, is bad because it means the great filter is probably still ahead of us because there has already been complex life.
Either way you go, when you're talking about the great filter, either way you go, it's a bad theory. It's not something you want.
It's not a theory I like.
You
want
to keep growing and progressing in the scientific mm-hmm. world. You want to create new things, get smarter about things. But man, if it's behind us, we pass through it, then we're screwed.
Yeah,
if
it's still like, in front of us.
Yeah, and if it's still in front of us, then we're screwed.
Because we still have to hit it. And that's if the great filter exists, right? It's hypothetical.
Hypothetical, yeah.
But it's a hypothetical astrophysical like idea, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a conspiracy theory idea. It's like, well, this could be a reason, an explanation of why we don't know about other life.
Right.
It's one possible explanation.
Because they're all gone already.
Exactly. Because maybe they're all gone. Maybe we're rare. We're the only one. Maybe we're all still growing together and we can't contact each other yet.
I don't like any of the options above. Yeah,
all those options suck. Yeah. None of those options where they exist and we just haven't found them yet. Like, that's the one I want the most. I also especially don't like they do exist and we can't understand anything about them and we never will. Because they're so far advanced, we'll never be able to comprehend them. That sucks.
We could get there. We'll never see it.
Not in our lifetime.
I was going to say, we'll never ever see it. But maybe eventually we could get to a point where, you know, kind of like Arrival, that movie Arrival.
Right.
It took them, I mean, how long were they out there trying to understand what these aliens were trying to tell them?
Well, that was also through physical language, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
what if the other life doesn't have that?
You're shitting on my parade here. Come on.
What if they're cognitive? Or precognitive. What if they speak through like waves? You know what I mean?
We're screwed no matter what. They
speak through signals that are transmitted between their brains. They don't even use audible things. We would never be able to communicate with them.
Nope.
Never.
Nope. They'd have to come here. We'd have to teach them how to write.
And honestly, think about that. We probably couldn't. Because
you're right.
If they communicate that way, their entire society and their entire understanding is based around that, right? Around the way that they communicate. Everything else from their civilization grows outward from that.
Any of them,
other life. Period. Ours is based upon an audible communication. All humans share that, right? That's a basic communication trait we have, is an audible sense of communication.
Right.
And then we have our physical sense through writing, which is just understanding the audible words as well. Right. We don't write different words than we speak. It's all the same. If they don't even function in that manner, maybe they can't even understand that manner. And we can't understand theirs. We would never be able to communicate, ever. It would always be a stalemate. Not stalemate. It would always be a stalling point. We'd never talk.
Well, what I was going to get at is any one of the types, type 1, 2, or 3, they're superior to us in every single way.
Absolutely.
So, that being said...
Well, to you.
Well, to me. Oh, yeah, easily. That being said, if they're so far advanced, and these are super beings we're talking about, why couldn't they learn?
I mean, yeah, if they're like hyper intelligent, way more intelligent than we are, then yeah, it stands to reason that they would be able to learn our methods, but could we ever learn theirs? Right? So even if they could understand what we're saying and how we communicate, we still can't perceive how they do it. They could understand us and maybe communicate in our way to us though.
Well, and that's the thing.
They
can
learn
our
methods of communication and communicate with us that way.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
You can communicate with us. Now we know you exist. We can understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about interstellar travel. Come on.
But that also assumes that they would even want to.
Yeah, they might not.
If that they're that hyper advanced and we're that primitive that they would have to come down here to our level and learn our way to talk to us, why would they bother? We're not worth the time. And that's
fine.
That's part of they exist, but they're too beyond us.
I don't like any of them. I don't like the Fermi. I don't like
I don't like any of this.
I don't like any of this. This is all terrible to me.
So with what we're just talking about, think about it this way, right? So we have the capacity to understand that the universe exists, right?
Right.
And that we're not the only planet in the universe, that there are billions of stars.
Exactly.
And other galaxies out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have, what is that called? We have existential, we have the ability to think existentially.
Yeah.
An ant doesn't know that there's a universe out there, that there's a galaxy out there. It knows its life and what it needs to do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What if we're the ants, though?
We're the ants to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To other life. We can perceive the galaxy and all this stuff, and we think we have this grand, we understand these grand things, or we are aware of these grand things. But what if that's nothing? What if that understanding still amounts to nothing?
It's just depressing. That's all it is. It's depressing.
It's terrifying.
We think we're so smart, but we might not really be.
So to go back to the beginning a little bit here, if we take those estimated bottom line numbers of there are 1 billion Earth-like planets in the universe, in the known universe, right?
Which would have 100,000 intelligent civilizations.
Right. So yeah, there should be at least 100,000 intelligent civilizations. So we take those numbers. That is the Fermi paradox, right?
Right.
That is where the question of where is everybody comes from. And that's where all everything else we've talked about in this podcast comes from. Those are all just possible explanations for why we don't know. Because in the grand scheme of things, we don't know. And that's the crushing reality. And that's the question that we want answered. Maybe more than any other question there is. It's certainly up there in the top echelon of like questions we need answers to that we probably never will get.
Yeah, it's sad.
That breaks my little heart. Because I want to know so badly if there's other life out there. I want to see them with my own eyes. I want to communicate with them, which would probably never be a possibility. But I just want to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you. I do want to know. But with all the other hypotheses that we've gone over, the super predator.
That one I don't want to be true.
So if we're trying to communicate with these beings through radio waves and they actually know that we're here and they show up and like, hey, you dummies.
You shouldn't have done that.
See you later. Maybe I would like to see them, but from afar.
Yeah.
Through a telescope.
Seeing them like billions of light years away. Like, oh, they're coming, but it's going to be a couple billion years.
Yeah. It's like, oh they do exist. That's awesome. And then go on about my business.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, they do exist. All right, I'm going back to work now. Yep. They're not going to be here in my lifetime. But that would be like terrible to figure out too, right? That there's a super predator species out there and they're coming for Earth.
Well, I'm not just necessarily saying that.
And at some point, humanity's got to prepare for this.
I'm not saying that they're coming. Like, we're looking through a scope and you can see the nose of their ship pointing towards
us. I know that's not what you're saying, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't like that. That'd be awful.
I don't want, God.
Do you think that would change the way, if that was figured out and realized and it was proven 100% to be true and it's a fact that a super predator exists and they're coming and we know it and we can gauge pretty properly the amount of time it's going to take them to get here. Do you think that changes everything about life and civilization? Do you think that governments would actually want to act on that, that people would want to change the way they are, even if it's not coming for a million years? But we need to start preparing now to survive it.
I think it might start that way, but in the end, because there's a lot of governments, you know, they all might get together and say, yo, something's coming and we have to prepare for this. We can't be enemies right now. We need to be on the same page. But somewhere along the line, it's going to turn into money. And it's going to be like, it's just going to be exactly how it is now.
I think so, too. And it's also not coming for a million years, right?
Right.
So they're probably not going to start caring for a little while. And then when they do care, that's still a long span of time.
Maybe it'd be a couple hundred thousand years away at that point.
Well, maybe they care for a couple hundred thousand years, but you lose that gauge of time, right? Because it's so far away and you're never going to see it in your lifetime. So you don't care as much.
Right.
So then we revert back to where we were and then, oh, now it's too late.
Yep. And that's how it'll be.
I don't think that's how it'll be. And that's awful.
That's how it'll be. Because, I mean, it'll kind of be like you got a group of 30 people and you say something to someone and you're supposed to pass it on to the next person.
Yeah,
and by the time it gets back to you, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking millions of years.
Yeah.
So at the end of that million years and they're just a couple of days away from us, they're gonna be like, wait, what were we supposed to be doing again?
Like, wasn't someone
weren't
coming?
We supposed to nuke this country real quick? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Either way you look at it, it's not good.
Well, I mean, no.
It's just not good.
So that is the Fermi paradox and all these other concepts that tie into it. And any way you slice it, it comes out to a pretty undesirable ending, right?
Exactly. It all sucks.
It comes out to an answer that I don't necessarily like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I felt that it was important to talk about these concepts and these ideas, right? And to maybe introduce them to some people that weren't aware of them or never really thought about them much. Like, to me, maybe other people don't really like this, but to me, it's fun to think about these kind of things and try to like hypothesize what they all mean and what could happen if these certain things are actually true, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's just, I felt this would be like kind of like a fun exercise. Like, that's pretty much what this episode was just a fun exercise and these kind of crazy concepts that these really smart scientific people have.
Yeah. Coming into this, I did a little bit of research on the Fermi paradox, the great filter, and the other one.
The Kirchhoff scale?
Yeah, the Kirchhoff scale. However you say
it. Yeah, however
name.
That guy's last name is said.
I'm going to call him Nikolai because his first name is Nikolai. It's easy.
Right.
I did some research on it, and I know you wanted me to come in a little cold on it just to get some...
That's what I was going to say. To be fair, I wanted you to come in pretty cold.
Yeah, and I had no idea about any of this. Like, right. We had discussed this a few weeks back and mm-hmm. when before we even thought about doing podcasts together, and you had talked to me about these, and it was just like, oh, man, that kind of sucks to think about, and then I never thought about it again, and then I did some research on it, and man, it just...
It's crazy,
It's
dude.
Crazy.
It's some mind-bending stuff.
Super interesting stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was never really interested in this kind of stuff before, but now, like, actually getting into it and, mm-hmm. and reading, this is really cool stuff.
Yeah, I love this kind of stuff. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that, like, I listen to podcasts about and I go read about at night. These are the rabbit holes that I get drug into, you
right.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Some people have, like, everyone has their own little things that, like, they just disappear into.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that I do. So I just thought it'd be kind of interesting to, like, bring these topics to light and make a little, like, smaller, shorter episode because you're not going to, we, anyways, like, other people that have way more vast understandings of this.
They could go for hours.
They could probably go for hours.
Yeah.
But we were only really ever going to get 30 minutes to 45 minutes out of an episode of this. And I feel that's all right for what this content is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this stuff is, these three hypotheses or theories
mm-hmm.
is pretty plain and basic.
Yeah, they're pretty basic, but they have, like, lasting and large implications.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they're basic in the sense of reading it and fully understanding it
first
time you read it. But it's just the way that we explained it, it's just right there. You can't go much more with it.
And there's not a whole lot of depth that you can really get out of it unless this is your field.
Right.
You know what I mean? And neither of us are physicists or astrophysicists or scientists of any manner.
I will never claim it whatsoever.
We're not experts in these fields. It's just interesting. And I think that that is going to wrap us up for the day. I think that's going to be about all that we can get out of this.
Yeah,
between
I had fun.
Between you and me. I had a good time.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
it. Was fun.
I hope you all did too.
I hope you had a great time listening. Don't forget to rate us.
I was just about to say that too. Whatever platform that you are listening to our podcast from, please hit that 5-star rating if you felt that this is a 5-star podcast. I'm not going to ask you to do it just because I want you to do it. If you really enjoyed this episode or you enjoy our show, please give us those ratings so that we can move up in the charts of all the different podcast platforms so that we can reach more people. As I think it's good for more people to expand their knowledge and hopefully want to do it with us. I will leave you with this. In order for society to grow and advance beyond our wildest imaginations, we must come together as a group, functioning like a single entity built upon the foundations of love, acceptance, and a never-ending thirst for betterment. Thank you for listening, and remember to always seek to broaden your horizons and expand your knowledge.